Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, there's nothing new under the sun. It's a reference to whatever you're experiencing now. It's nothing new. It's happened before. Take, for instance, the top headlines in our world today or in our country today. Inflation! Yeah, go back to the late 70s, you'll see a very similar occurrence where the government spent too much money and we had rampant inflation. Recession! Did you know that we have had 11 recessions since 1948? It's nothing new. Oh, but Pastor Matt, what about the record high temperatures caused by climate change? Did you actually know that 1936 is the hottest year on record? In fact, our recent, quote, record heat in the United States, if we actually take a look at it, the five hottest cities in the United States this last month during the last heat wave with their quote unquote record highs were all five or more degrees cooler than the maximum high temperature. You see, those maximum high temperatures and the maximum, the hottest year on record was during those Dust Bowl years of the 1930s, which was an 11-year span. And as for the California drought that is so terrible, did you know that the worst three-year drought we've had was actually 1974 through 77? And if you want the driest year, if it's the rainfall year, which goes from July 1st to June 30th, it's the 1975-76 year, and the driest calendar year is 1977. During that three-year record drought that we haven't come close to. Now you might say, Pastor Matt, that's all news and stuff today, but what in the world does that have to do with the church? Well, because there's nothing new under the sun. Just as we experience inflation, recession, high temperatures, changing, you know, climates, things like that, and it's always been the case, there's always troubles in the church too. In fact, the church is always under assault. It just comes in different forms. There's an assault on church, there's an assault on faith. And we hear, well, you can't trust the organized church. Kind of sounds like the Reformation time. The teachings of the church are old. They're out of date. You know, there's a lot of that going on in the 1800s. Leading authorities, by that I mean leading sociologists, philosophers, theologians, scientists, leading authorities say, you know, the world wasn't created, or the patriarchal system of the Bible is wrong, etc., etc. In fact, if we go back to the 1800s and take a look at what was happening then, I think it's rather eye-opening for us today. In the 1800s, there was a bit of a backlash to the teachings that came out of the Reformation. And the Reformation really can be summed up with those five Latin phrases, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, sola Christos, sola Deo gloria. Put into English, it's by grace alone that we are saved, and we are saved by faith alone. Faith alone that is founded in the scripture alone, which points us to Christ as our Redeemer alone, And the result is, to God alone be the glory, because he's the one who's given us scripture, shown us grace, works faith in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and sent his son Jesus Christ to be the Redeemer. But back in the 1800s, there was a real push within the world of academics and, as a result, the church, to embrace the rationalism that was taught by the Frenchman Descartes. In a nutshell, rationalism says that reason rather than experience is the foundation of knowledge or truth. And it wormed its way into the church in a form that was called Erastinianism, which again, in a nutshell, said the state or government is superior to the church in the supervision of the church. Why? Well, because the state will be more rational. They don't operate from faith. So, for instance, in the 1800s, you could have a member in the church who would openly say, you know, really, I don't believe any of this Bible stuff, but I really like the people, and I see the church as a fraternal organization. I'm willing to pay my dues and come and be a part of it, but I just don't buy the basic teachings of the church. Now, for the church, such a person comes forward for Holy Communion. Now, what's the pastor supposed to do, or what's the church supposed to do? We believe in faith. We believe in Scripture alone, and it's Scripture that tells us if we come and we partake of Holy Communion in an unworthy manner, that we eat and drink judgment, condemnation on ourselves. So we're supposed to stop that person. Don't do it. And if they continue, then to invoke church discipline on them. Look, you can't be doing this. And the state would step in and say, no, no, no. You got to let them have communion. They've got to be a member. Don't you see? It's the rational thing to do. They're paying their dues. You call it a tithe, we call it dues. They're paying for services rendered. So render the services. Besides that, it means more money in your pocket. It means you can claim better numbers in church. And isn't that what you want? A big church, lots of numbers? That was a problem. And that is what a gentleman by the name of Nikolai Grundtvig, nice English name there, right? A nice German, Lutheran, Swedish guy whose father was a pastor. He went to the University of Copenhagen. There he was taught rationalism and Erastinianism. And he dropped out. He couldn't handle it. Not the academic courses or work, but that in his mind, the university was a place for seeking and gaining knowledge and looking for truth. And instead, he was being told by his professors, look, this is truth. And the truth was based on reason rather than experience or that which is observed. So he dropped out, went back home, began to assist his father in the church, ended up becoming ordained, and on his ordination date, he gave the sermon. The sermon was titled, I quote, "Why has the Lord's word disappeared from this house?" Or to put it another way, we could make the title of that sermon, "There's Nothing New Under the Sun," S-O-N. N, sun. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Hebrews 13, verse 8 tells us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's nothing new when it comes to Jesus Christ. And when it comes to the sola scriptura that reveals Jesus Christ to us, we read, for instance, in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, where Jesus gives this revelation to John that if anyone adds to the words of this revelation, plagues will be upon them and the tree of life or eternal life will be removed from them. We read in Proverbs 30, verse 6, do not add to his words lest he rebuke you. Or Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it. Or how about Isaiah 40, verse 8? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. So there's nothing new under the sun, Jesus Christ, because there's nothing new in Scripture, because Malachi 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. And Nicolai understood this. And so he took on rationalism. He took on Erastianism. And the result was the state came after him. They defrocked him. They annulled his ordination. They excommunicated him from the church. And true to form of governments, they fined him. He had to pay the government for standing on God's word. You see, he was very much inspired by the Reformation. He was very much inspired by Luther, who also was brought before the authorities and told to recant and take away what he had said. And Luther's response was basically, unless I am compelled by Scripture, not you governing authorities, here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. And that's where Nicolai was at. He understood the landscape, and he was going to stand there because he understood that the foundation of the Christian faith is not reason. It is Scripture, which points us to Jesus. And he understood what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 8, about that rock, that stone, our foundation. It is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. They were destined to do it, yes. Again, Scripture tells us the heart of man is deceitful above all things. And because of that, we're destined to mess things up if we rely on ourselves instead of God's word. Well, what was Nicolai's answer? Like so many others, one of his answers was, write a hymn. Built on the rock, the church does stand. Five simple verses with five biblical truths. Number one, built on the rock. He got it from our gospel this morning, where Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And some said, oh, they say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist back. Some say you're one of the other prophets. And Jesus then says, but who do you say that I am? And that's where Peter immediately piped up and, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You're God. You're the Messiah. And Jesus says, it's on that rock that I'm going to build my church, Peter. Now, he's not referring to Peter as the rock, he's referring to that statement of faith that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer foretold in Scripture. This is sola Christos, built on the rock of God's Word and Jesus Christ, the church stands. Verse 2, the real church where God dwells is not the building. It's his people. He, through baptismal grace, us owns, is what Nikolai writes and what we sing. He redeems us. He brings us into his house, his family, through baptism, but that's when he comes into us as well. And the Holy Spirit makes his dwelling within us, which then leads to, were we but two, if there were just two of us, Jesus is here. Two gathering together to worship, Jesus is here. And by the way, notice he doesn't write, nor does Scripture say, were there a pastor and one member? It's not dependent on the pastor. It's the body of Christ coming together to worship God. And as Nikolai says, he'll be there bringing his grace and his favor. In the fourth verse, he takes on the building again. The building does have a significance. The building is built so we can see that baptismal font, which reminds us that it's through him we become a part of his family. The altar reminds us of the sacrifice that was done in the Old Testament, and we don't have a sacrifice there. We have the Christ candle there because Christ became that sacrifice. And yet at the same time, when we have communion, there is the altar with the elements of communion there, because Jesus comes to us, gives himself to us. And here in this building, Scripture is proclaimed. Christ is the same. Here at Zion, you walk in and the first thing you see is the window up there with the Lamb of God. And as you go out, there's a window. May the hand of God be upon you as you go out and serve him. The building is built to remind us of sola scriptura and sola Christos. The building reminds us we've been redeemed. And it is here in this building where his will is done. Because when the church bells are ringing, the people are coming. They're singing. They're praying. They're giving thanks. They are worshiping. And yes, his word, his message is being heard. And what is the message? I know my own. My own know me. You, not the world, my face shall see. My peace I leave with you. Amen. Yes, it is so. And there we see the heart, the rock of worship. Nikolai didn't write this and, you know, take it and have it copyrighted and then sell it. No, he wrote it so that it could be sung. He wrote it to make those scriptural points and remind people that Christ doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun, S-O-N. He and his word are the rock of our foundation and our salvation. It is why we are. We know it. This is our response we come here, as it has always been, to worship, to obey, to give back to God our praise, our thanks, our honor, our glory. It's a message that is sorely needed today. We come to give, not to get. We do get to hear God's word, but that focuses us back on why we're really here and to stand true to sola scriptura and sola Christos. The rest of the story? Well, there's nothing new under the sun, S-U-N. Things keep on happening. The church is still under attack. And the hymn, Belt on the Rock, it's been changed. Two major mainline denominations, their new hymnals, have the hymn. But it's now Belt on a Rock, the church doth stand. Notice the difference between the. The rock says there's one. A rock. Choose the rock you want. Indeed, there's nothing new under the sun. May we be the ones who don't live by there's nothing new under the sun, S-U-N, but who live by there's nothing new under the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In his name, amen.